You're listening to Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded, and current lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. When the young woman or when the young man, sometimes you got to take a stand. Just because you think you can, you got to run, you got to run. When the young woman or when the young man, sometimes you got to take a stand. Just because you think you can, you got to run, you got to run, run. Crying against the odds, you're in a trance. Say, who did you think you are to have a chance? You're a no one. Your face, a come and go ain't in all the sun. So you better hang on and hey, you better run. Cause here's your chance and your race is begun. Down in a hole, you feel like two different people in your soul. Feel like a loser until you see that as you bend.
Welcome back to Unceded Airwaves
on CITR 101.9 FM.
Broadcasting from the unceded current traditional lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples.
We're having mic problems, but that's okay. 2018 was a lot of problems.
It's my first day as the DJ, so.
Ever?
Yes, everybody be patient with me.
Usually I do the boards, but it's because I really like it. And then today I walked in like exactly at 2, which is why we're starting pretty late, because I had an appointment before this that I was like trying to rush, but it wasn't working. And I think that's pretty much how 2018 was.
Yeah, today as a year. We're gonna talk about 2018.
2018 for me.
It's gonna be such a conversation. It was such a year.
Such a year. Also, content warning. There's going to be some swear words.
Yes, in music and
we can't hold that back. It's but true.
Let's quickly do some introductions. No, Nistaan Kwitasowet. I'm Steph. I am from the Squamish Nation, born and raised here on Squamish territory.
Drinkweezy, Autumn Schnell Vilji, Chief Jim Cooey, Janet Cooey, Jacqueline Cooey, Wade Schnell, Shadeji. My name is Autumn Schnell. I am originally from Treaty 11 territory. I am Gwich'in and Inuvialuit from up there 200 kilometers north of the Arctic Circle. But I was born and raised in Amiskwichi, Wiskayagin, which is on Treaty 6 territory. And now I feel really lucky and privileged to live here on unceded Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh lands as a student here at the Colonial Institution of UBC. We're going to talk a lot about colonialism today. And also my voice is really raspy because I rang in the new year sick.
Aww.
I hope it's better than the past 2 days have been. Can you tell? I feel like you must all know my voice at least a little bit by now because I was the collective coordinator last year. And yes. You also hear my voice at the beginning of almost every episode.
Every single episode welcoming us.
Because I had so much fun making intros last year, but now I sound different.
Aww.
I've changed. 2019 has changed me.
And we are going to talk about that. Are we going to dive right into that, or are we going to play music first?
I think we should play The Universal Soldier by Buffy St. Marie.
Okay.
So I hope you all enjoy this.
All right, here we go.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA, and he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war, and without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from him and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war.
Welcome back to Unceded Airwaves. So first, we're gonna start with some of the things of 2018 that we were not so happy with.
Okay, so I guess the first one to me would be the Tina Fontaine and Colton Bushy verdicts. Yeah. What do you think about them, Steph?
It's so weird how it feels like it just happened, and it also is hard to believe that it just happened this year because so many other things have happened since. It's just been such a big year, but yeah,
we did like Unceded Airways did pretty extensive episodes about I know the Justice for Colton one. That one was the February 14th episode, and then we did a Tina Fontaine rally one. Kind of just like a lot of them were just about feelings.
Yeah,
because it was a lot of like pent up aggression towards all these systems that were just like really aggressively killing Indigenous people.
And just the idea that you could, yeah, literally just kill two Indigenous kids, like mm-hmm. youth mm-hmm. and
babies
mm-hmm. and get away with nothing. And the media coverage was incredibly disappointing as well at the beginning.
Yeah.
portraying each of, like, Tina and Colton as perpetrators, mm-hmm. I think everyone felt that really personally.
Yeah, and for me, something that I felt a lot of rage towards was that we didn't even discuss any of it in, like, classes. Mm-hmm. And I'm majoring in Indigenous Studies for reference, mm-hmm. and, like, we rarely talked about it. And I understand that, like, some of my teachers were Indigenous women, and, like, it's totally valid of them to say that they don't want to talk about it. But just that it was, like, not even brought up slightly in one of my classes, or in, like, any of my classes. And I was in five.
That's insane. I didn't even know that. It came up, but once again, just in a more academic, media-focused way, because I'm at journalism school, and it was just looking at literally at the coverage, mm-hmm. but not so much at the emotion, which is the part that I felt maybe was more lacking.
Mm-hmm. And also for reference, if you want to go back and listen to the Justice for Colton and Justice for Tina episodes, the Justice for Colton one is season 3, episode 13. And then I'm going to try and find the Tina one. I know that we definitely did one. I think it was just around the rally, though.
So I'm sure that everyone remembers, yeah, that Raymond Cormier was just simply found not guilty, mm-hmm. and Gerard Stanley was acquitted for murdering Colton Bushy on his farm. And if anyone wanted any updates, I just recently checked, and Tina's safe haven just opened in Winnipeg. It's a 24/7 shelter for youth, so that's a nice...
Well, something good came out of it.
Honoring her name, yeah. And then with Colton Bushy's family is actually filing a lawsuit seeking almost $2 million from the RCMP and from the Stanley family for damages. So it's still happening.
Yeah. And then there's also later in this year, I think it was around October, there was a Cindy Gladue case where her murderer was also found not guilty. So... it's another bad thing, but that one's going to the Supreme Court. I don't know if the verdict's going to be any different or any better, but there's some hope that it's at least being retried.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, the Justice for Tina episode is season 3, episode 16. So they're three episodes from one another. And one of those, like one of the episodes was on a Friday, and this, I believe these were on Wednesdays last year. So it was like within 2 weeks, both of these verdicts came out.
Yeah.
So it was like a lot of emotional labor and stress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what it was like to be at that rally or what it was like covering it?
I remember recording things on my phone and just like crying and being with people, which was really, it was honestly the only good thing that came out of it for me was community building. Mm. And I like didn't think that I was going to record anything, but then I did record something, mm-hmm. because I think it's hard not to when you're trying to like do radio and like at least find some sort of like justice or like a safe place for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we also didn't get any hate from any of the listeners.
That's amazing.
So that's cool.
Thanks, listeners.
Yeah. Either you're not listening or you're not giving us hate. But either way, I'm happy because I didn't get any.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I never support not listening to my radio show unless the haters aren't listening. Haters.
Yeah. Haters cannot listen to this.
No. What else was a bad part of the year for you?
There's one conflicting part. I was up in Yukon and I was interning with CBC, and it was right around the time that the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women asked for a 2-year extension.
Mm-hmm.
And instead they were denied that and just granted a 6-month extension. And so I spoke to someone from the Yukon Aboriginal Women's Council up there, and her name was Joy O'Brien. And she was saying it was a really conflicting moment because on the one hand, you don't want to draw it out longer than it has to be, and it's very traumatic for some people, so maybe they'd rather literally just close the book on this inquiry, especially if they feel like it's just not working for them. And then for other people, families of loved ones that they lost, they never got the chance to speak at any of these hearings, so you want to give them the chance to speak. And so that was just like a hard moment, I guess, for me, being wondering what the best way to go about it is.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say another downside is when Mr. JT bought the pipeline and then wouldn't answer our questions.
That was, for anyone who missed that episode.
He wouldn't answer us.
Go back. We tried to call and get accountability from Justin Trudeau.
From our personal cell phones.
We got no answers.
None. There were no answers. We left a voicemail for his assistant's assistant.
There's also the fact that the federal government promised to provide clean water to every Indigenous community, and they are nowhere near that goal, mm-hmm. and yet they have the money to nationalize a pipeline,
mm-hmm.
that is going to cause destruction for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun.
Fun. Wow.
Guys, it was a fun year.
Woo!
You've only come
new year, new me! My body, my temple. Canada's body, Canada's temple.
Oh, Canada's temple. Sounds culty.
It is culty, but it's because they buy pipelines.
What else? There was also the weird, mysterious document of the Indigenous rights framework that Trudeau's trying to push through, mm-hmm. that some people think is really scary, and some people think could maybe help, because it will maybe alleviate some aspects of the Indian Act, and still nobody knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But there was one good thing that happened.
One good thing. Only one good thing.
Romeo Saganesh in the House of Commons was brave enough in September to stand up there and say what we were all thinking, that Trudeau,
Justin Trudeau,
does not give
a fuck
about Indigenous peoples.
It's true.
I think everyone's heart just kind of lit on fire in that moment.
Yeah. But then there were memes everywhere that like make my heart happy because I like the good type of memes.
Yes, 2018 was the year of the Indigenous meme.
Yeah, resurgence. Digital resurgence.
Yes. If you aren't following Decolonial Meme Queens, Skoden, Arnell, like there are so many good Indigenous meme accounts out there right now. So
you should follow them.
They are hilarious.
Yeah.
And scathing.
But in a good way. Don't let scathing scare you.
No, in the best way. Mm-hmm. In the best.
In the same way that we all feel when we're doing things like trying to call Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
I think we should make a meme about that.
Let's make a meme about it. I think you're right.
Maybe we'll make it in the next song.
Yeah.
In the middle of the next song. Okay, so another great thing about last year was that Unseated Airwaves interviewed Jason Camp and the Posers. I got their name wrong, I swear, every single time in that episode, but I can read it now here. And I remember last year they sent us some rough mixes. I don't know, actually, I'm going to check if they have real ones, if they have real mixes. This isn't going to be dead air. Can you hear my computer typing? I just don't feel like it's fair to play rough mixes if they have like real mixes, but I didn't even think about that.
I think you guys had a great year for music last
year.
Yeah. Played a lot of good music.
Yeah, we did. Okay, so it says that they don't have it. So I'll play the rough mix. Okay, so this one's called Silver-Tongued White Man Rough Mix by Jason Camp and the Posers. You're listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. That song was an ode to all of the horrible things that happen and all the rage that I feel towards it. And the next song's a completely different vibe. It's called The Prairies by Tara Williamson. And the reason I chose this one, I guess I curated this playlist for all the feelings of last year / favorite songs of last year. And The Prairies by Tara Williamson was one of my favorite albums. Yeah, it came out in 2016, but I just didn't hear about it until 2018. So, yeah, it's good. It's slower. Be prepared for a very different vibe. I hope all the people listening in the AMS Nest at UBC enjoy the very random array of songs that are going to play. Enjoy this one.
How the bitter winter
Welcome back to Unceded Airwaves, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. We were just listening to Jeremy Dutcher.
And guess what Jeremy Dutcher did in 2018?
He won the Polaris Award.
It's also just like really good music.
It's amazing music.
Like if you take the Polaris Award out of it, it's amazing, but then you add the Polaris Award to it, and it's really cool because of all these like colonial like things, and then indigenous people are winning them. And then Jeremy Dutcher, I don't want to say he like coined the term, but he like brought the term to light of the indigenous renaissance. And I'm actually currently wearing a sweater that says indigenous renaissance.
I really loved the part, like I loved his whole speech, but especially when he said like it feels like we're on the precipice of something, mm-hmm. like it really feels like it. Oh, that just filled me with so much hope, because as you can tell from the first part of the show, there was a lot of negativity in 2018.
Yeah.
It was nice to think it's just part of some precipice, some kind of like rising wave of good things.
Where bad things are happening, but good things are also coming. It feels like good things are looming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that album was amazing.
That album is so amazing. It's also really cool. Like, I love the whole idea of just the cover art mm-hmm. for the album and how it's, again, like, it kind of is, like, symbolizing not necessarily the Polaris Prize, but it kind of speaks to the same thing as what him winning the Polaris Prize is, where, like, I don't know if you've seen the album cover, but it's basically, I don't know if it's a painting. I don't know exactly what medium of art it's in, but I know it's on the cover. And it's a person who I'm assuming is Jeremy Dutcher. Do you know if that's Jeremy?
It is.
It's Jeremy Dutcher. And he's speaking in front of one of those. Do you know the thing?
Like a podium?
It's that.
Yes, it's some sort of old-fashioned microphone.
It's like a recording equipment, and then it records it to.
It's very like 18.
Like a vinyl?
1800s looking.
There has to be a proper name for this, but
I'm sure there is.
Currently blanking in my mind, but it's just like really interesting how like that's the cover of his album and it won the Polaris Prize, which is like, it's, I feel like it speaks to a lot of the same things.
For sure.
I don't sound very educated right now. I'm so sorry.
No, it's really interesting. It's kind of like existing within like a colonial space, but doing something so profoundly indigenous at the same time.
And like being unapologetic about it.
Yes.
That's what like inspires me a lot by Jeremy Dutcher.
Mm-hmm.
Another really cool thing that happened is with Billy Ray Belcourt.
Yes. Billy Ray is from the Driftpile Cree Nation, and he won the Griffin Prize, which is like a $50,000 poetry prize,
mm-hmm.
along with winning, all in like the course of a month or something, the Indigenous Voices Award and the Robert Croach Award and the Trudeau Scholarship for his book of poetry called This Wound is a World.
We also did an episode last October where we interviewed Billy, and he just talked about his book. I remember buying two books from him just because I thought that it would be cool to like support a queer indigenous man, and then it like won all these prizes, and mm-hmm. I'm so happy for him. He also did a reading for like, I guess not for me, but for Art Speak, but I coordinated it, and that was in October. So
he also did this really amazing TED talk about when he got gallstones. And
no, I didn't even hear of that. That's so cool.
It's so good because he talks about how he was treated when he went to the doctor. And he says, I'm going to ruin the wording, but something about how like they were kind of criticizing, like asking about his lifestyle and stuff, you know, as if like his pain was his fault. And he said it was so uncomfortable to be a person, like an indigenous person in pain who like isn't even supposed to like exist and supposed to be oppressed. And he's not even like allowed to experience pain in the eyes of this doctor. Really well done. Not too long. Google it.
Yeah. Justin, or not Justin. I'm thinking about Jeremy Dutcher. Billy's great. Jeremy Dutcher's also great.
But Justin, we're not a fan.
No. Actually, you should check out our Facebook and our Twitter because we have posted a meme that Steph and I made.
Autumn made this meme on air.
Yeah. You should check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, people coming from Facebook, thank you.
Yeah.
Don't send us hate, please. That would be cool.
We were inspired by Arnold's tail feathers for this meme. So also, give Arnold a follow.
And then some other cool things that happened. This one's specifically an indigenous woman, but Janine Frey Neal. I have no idea how to pronounce her last name. You should check it out. Read the like she created this piece, this exhibition at the Contemporary Art Gallery, but it's called My Auntie Bought All of Her Skidoos with Bead Money. And she's this Gwich'in artist and woman from, or I don't know exactly where from. I feel like it's in the Yukon because she's Vuntuk Gwich'in, but I'm Tetlik Gwich'in, so we're kin. And I think that like her exhibition was also just like really amazing. And you should all buy the book.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Indigenous Renaissance, there was just so much good art going out there. So I was talking about how I want to read There, There by Tommy Orange, but that's about being like an urban Indigenous person and that kind of, I don't know, like paradox, feeling like you don't belong in these kind of two different groups kind of thing. And then Kamlupa, the matriarchal play, came out for the first time by Kim Harvey. Mm-hmm. And she has a new play coming out next year. We got to interview Eden Robinson, who did the next book in her Trickster trilogy. Mm-hmm. So good. And then also there was the Thunder Bay podcast.
Yeah.
Which was like led by what's his name? The wonderful Indigenous comedian. Who I always know his name and now I'm blanking.
I also am blanking. You Google it.
I will Google it.
You Google
it. But everyone should listen to the Thunder Bay podcast. It was more about how the youth there and Indigenous people there just experience systemic violence and how it's basically the system working perfectly. And it's not that the system is broken. It's not that the system is failing people. It's that the system is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. By Ryan McMahon.
Yes. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do, which is build their colonial systems off of Indigenous bodies and Black bodies and queer bodies and bodies of color.
Yeah. It's tough to listen
and,
to.
Like, support white supremacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's... Yeah, white supremacy. Basically, you have to listen to 5 hours of like white supremacists, so it's kind of tough.
Yeah,
but really well done.
Yeah, another really cool thing that happened is my dear friends and also both are Unseated Airwaves alumni, Selena Bowen and Carly Baker graduated at UBC with Masters of Fine Arts and Creative Writing, and Carly Baker's book Bad Endings is out now. But then also, I believe Selena, I don't know exactly what Selena's doing. I don't know if she's creating any works right now, but I know that she's been doing a bunch of readings around town and she was just really like glad to graduate. So it's really cool that Indigenous women are making great art.
Yeah. And I was lucky to meet both at the Room Literary Festival. Mm-hmm. And then also Room started Indigenous Brilliance, the Indigenous reading series, which Autumn took part in.
I read. Yes. November 23rd. Yeah, so that was fun. And then also Jessica Johns and Yonina Kirk, I don't know her last name. You should Google them. Created this event at Growing Room Festival, but then they partnered with Massey Books, and now Jay Simpson is a part of the team, and they're basically just like supporting BIPOC and queer people and paying them to read in front of other people and asking for like tips from white people, and they're talking about like really great books that are coming out, and it's just like a really great space that's made for Indigenous people.
Nice.
Yeah, and like by Indigenous people, so it's not, doesn't feel super like wrong to read in it or like you're a token.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really good year for Indigenous podcasts besides Thunder Bay. There's media.
Like Unseated Airwaves.
Unseated Airwaves. Top podcast of the year.
Listen to us describe memes live on air.
But also like Red Man Laughing is back. Broken Boxes, Unreserved. Like there's just so much good work going on. Secret Life of Canada. Mm-hmm. One of the hosts is Indigenous and good podcast year.
Good podcast year. Yay. Did any other art things happen?
I'm sure a lot happened.
I mean, I know like a lot happened. But there's none that I can think of right now. What about you?
Those are the things that came to my mind right away that we listed already.
And those were good things, despite really all the bad things.
Yeah. Despite all the bad things, there was so much good work. And like you said, community building happening.
Yeah. When did Leanne Simpson book come out? As we have always done. I'm going to Google it.
Please do.
Because I don't know if that came out in 2017 or 2018. Okay, it came out in 2017, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was also going to credit Seven Fallen Feathers by Tanya Talaga, because I thought that was 2018, but it was also 2017. But I think they were doing book tours and such for 2018.
Basically, you should still read them despite their publishing year.
Yeah.
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 Because years are kind of arbitrary.
Totally.
But it's interesting how much can happen in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the next song that I'm going to play is Leaks by Leanne Simpson and Tara Williamson on the album of Islands of Decolonial Love. We'll be back after this song. It's only 2 minutes and 38 seconds, so I hope you enjoy it.
Road, open windows, beautiful one, too perfect for this world. The immediacy of mosquitoes, humidity choking breath. My beautiful singing bird. 5-year-old Gichita Quay. Silent, petrified tears in the back seat until the dam finally bursts. You are the breath over the ice on the lake. You are the one the grandmothers sing to through the rapids. You are the saved seeds of allies. You are the space between embraces. She's always going to remember this. You are rebellion, resistance, reimagination. Her body will remember. You are dug up roads, 27-day standoffs, the foil of industry prospectors. She can't speak about it for a year, which is 1/6 of her life. For every one of your questions, there's a story hidden in the skin of the forest. Use them as flint, fodder, love songs, medicine. You are from a place of unflinching power, the holder of our stories, the one who speaks up. The chants for spoken up words drowned in ambush. You are not a vessel for white settler shame, even if I am the housing that failed you.
You're listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people, as well as the Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh people. So that song was Leaks by Leanne Simpson and Tara Williamson, and it came out in 2013, but I think I rediscovered it in 2017, or in the 2017-2018 school year, and I just, like, fell in love with it. It's so relaxing, but also I really like how it's a form of resurgence and, like, advocacy. This whole song is about Leanne Simpson's daughter, and you should read the whole thing because I'm totally not doing an accurate representation in talking about it, but it's basically about Leanne Simpson's daughter and, like, this experience where there was like an interaction with a really racist person. So I don't know if you could draw a lot from that, hearing about it afterwards, but my favorite line is, "You are not a vessel for white settler shame." Yeah. So that was something that I found a lot of inspiration in 2018. Yeah. How was your year, Steph?
It was a tough year.
Yeah.
It was quite the year. Just on a personal level, my granny passed away December 2017, so it was my first year without her. Rough. And everything felt so different. Mm-hmm. And then in January, my mom was diagnosed with a illness.
Oh, no.
that has been really tough to deal with. So I think it's really made me feel kind of the urgency to, like, soak up these people, you know. And my granny was around. She was just like this well of knowledge that I enjoyed and asked her questions all the time, but I don't think I did enough to, like, inherit everything that I could have, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm really feeling, and especially it's hard while you're in school because of just the structure of it. It just soaks up all your time and energy.
You're also, like, absorbing so much knowledge from school that maybe you don't need to be, and you'd much rather.
That's pretty much, like, I was really struggling with that feeling of being like, should I even be here? Like, because I wish I could get credits for learning my language
or
for learning one of the crafts that she knew that I don't know. So I think it's really been a year for me valuing that. And
yeah,
next, like as soon as I'm done school in April, I really want to prioritize learning more.
Are you going to go to the Squamish language school?
That's what I would really love to do. But
that's so cool.
Yeah. My auntie and my mom also want to learn. And yeah, so it's
also just be a family affair.
Exactly. We can all go.
Wow.
Yeah. But what was your year like?
Well, I actually posted about this on my Instagram. So I'm going to pull up the list. Okay. So in 2018, I traveled to all three coasts of Canada. So those, even though Canada's fake, I traveled to the Pacific coast, which is currently where we are, the Atlantic coast. I went to Newfoundland. And then I also went all the way up north into the Arctic Circle, which is where my mom lives. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also counted how many planes I boarded. And the answer is 20.
Wow.
20 planes.
That's a lot of planes.
I'm really bad for the environment.
That's the worst part. I know. The guilt of the plane riding.
But it's hard because I also boarded like 8 flights alone to go to where my mom is, which is my land. Mm-hmm. But it's so inaccessible that you have to board 8 planes to go there and back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that still leaves like 12 or something that I personally boarded.
Yeah.
But regardless, 8's like a lot. Yeah. And then I coordinated, produced, and finished the 3rd episode of Unseated Airwaves. So last year's edition, which is currently what Jess is doing. So Jess did the first half of, or the second half of 2018.
Oh, yeah.
So that's cool. And then I also created and finished a new podcast series, which is forthcoming in January 2019, I think, probably, maybe, hopefully. It'll come out eventually. I'll get Unseated Airways to post it. I think CITR is supposed to be doing the launch for it.
Nice.
But yeah, it was for a event that happened in Victoria through the Digital Humanities Summer Institute. And it's like the whole event was called the Symposium for Indigenous New Media. And I was basically paid to record and create podcasts about a lot of the material. So that was fun. And then I completed my first year of university. I read poetry on stage in front of people for the first time. And that was in October. And then I did it 3 times since.
Nice.
I think. That's probably bad math. I also got a tattoo.
Yes, and it's beautiful.
Thank you. It's hand-poked.
This sounds like a good year.
Yeah. And then I also sunbathed, and I learned to cry in public, because that's what university teaches you, but in a good way. It feels really good, like a good bus cry.
It feels good when you actually are at the point where you don't care.
Like, yeah. You're just like, I'm going to cry on this bus for a whole hour.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go to this thing with my face all puffy, and it's fine. I'll be fine. Everything will be fine. Yeah. And then I cuddled my dogs a lot, and then I also cuddled a bunch of other really good dogs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a good year. It wasn't that good in terms of like year, but I guess I did a lot in it.
Yeah, I definitely did a lot. I was really lucky where I got to do some internships over the summer. So I went up to Yukon, and I also did a short trip to Bella Bella. And I've always lived here. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first time ever like entering other territories. And that kind of like trying to seek permission or like build relations was something I haven't really had to do before. And it was a really wonderful, but like sometimes really challenging experience. And I got to meet people from all over, from Karkrastagish, from Vundakwitchin, like the farthest north in Yukon you can possibly go, and from Alaska, and it was a really amazing. Mm-hmm. And but then I also felt really constricted working once again in media, as we talked about before on the show, being able to take the time to tell Indigenous stories in an Indigenous way, mm-hmm. and not feel like they're explainer pieces for the white listeners, like it's for the Indigenous listeners. That can be a hard thing. So I think that was also something I thought a lot about this year,
and also navigating the difference between journalism and media. Totally. I think was something that I not necessarily struggled with, but like thought about a lot, mm-hmm. in 2018. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like also how you can like decolonize journalism, but I don't think it's something that I am interested in. Mm-hmm. Seems like you are, as a journalism master student.
I think this year is the first year I really was like, wow, this is not gonna be easy at all.
Yeah. It's a challenge, and like props to you and everybody else who's doing it.
Yeah.
But I prefer making podcasts like this.
Yeah, no, this is a release kind of from all of the rules and restrictions that you meet along the way. But 2018, I also literally made a list of all of these amazing Indigenous journalists I met. Ooh, just in 2018.
Share.
So, Angela Starrett, Tanya Talaga, Walmish Hamilton, Mike Rudick, Leonard Linklater, Jumuna Galetamang, who volunteers for Unseated Airwaves,
wow.
Haley Lewis, who's now writing for HuffPo, Chantal Bell-Richard, who's with CBC Indigenous, Candace Collison, Allison, who's a professor at UBC, Rick Harp, who does the podcast Media Indigena, and Duncan McHugh, who does cross-country checkup for CBC. And I also got to just like read and listen to and appreciate a lot of work from a lot of Indigenous journalists who are doing doing pretty amazing things.
That's amazing. You should check them all out.
Yes.
There's also an episode that Unseated Airwaves did with Duncan McHugh.
Yes.
About his book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember what point in time that was. a year is kind of like a whirlwind in university, but we did it. So if you check back to our archive at citr.ca, you can, and then you type in Unseated Airwaves in the little search button, you can find it.
Nice.
And you should find it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the good news is 2018 is over.
So what are you looking forward to in 2019?
2019, I'm looking forward to graduating.
Yes!
I really want to graduate. And yeah, hopefully maybe find work and maybe survive.
Surviving is good enough.
And
getting out of bed every day.
And hopefully do some more traditional learning. Learning Squamish and learning some of the things that my granny knew is my goal. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Finishing my second year of university.
You sure will.
Hopefully. Ideally. Also, I'm moving back home for the summer.
Oh.
Which is where my partner lives.
Nice.
So that's fun.
Oh, that's gonna get you through this semester.
I love the prairies also.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I played The Prairies by Tara Williamson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your
what
home.
Else? I think I'm gonna go. My mom wants to road trip up through the Yukon with her car to drive it back up to Inuvik. So we have to take like the Dempster Highway and drive through like Whitehorse.
Nice.
And yeah.
That's gonna be amazing.
So far in 2019, what has been your favorite dog?
Okay. My favorite dog is our family dog. Her name is Mercedes.
Mercedes.
Yes. She came with that name. Her sister's name was Portia. We adopted her.
And, did you adopt Portia too?
We did not. She was too sick at the moment to be adopted.
Oh, Portia.
Yeah, she had to stay in a vet, and then she got adopted by someone else. But Mercedes is an old lady now. She's an old ta'a, and she is very large and very slow, but still so happy and so loving.
Did you see her in 2019?
Yeah, I have seen her already.
Good.
And I saw her over Christmas.
Aww.
And she was wearing some little sweaters. She had a good time. She got a lot of turkey. And then
Portia got spoiled. Not Portia. Mercedes got spoiled.
Oh, she did.
But they deserve it.
Yes. And then there is another dog named Scout at the journalism school who's basically like a sympathy anxiety dog for every stressed out grad student at that school.
Which is a lot of them,
and
probably.
And Scout carries that burden real well.
Scout, you're amazing.
She's like,
if you're listening to this, Scout, yeah. I'm sure you are. But if you're listening, I'm sure you are. Yeah. So when you listen to this, Scout. Or if you're listening to her right now, I want you to know that you're amazing.
Yeah. And Scout has an Instagram account, Scout the Journalism Dog.
Scout.
If anyone wants to.
Scout is so amazing. Scout is doing so well.
Scout's doing well. Scout is looking forward to 2019.
I'm sure Scout is.
What's been your most amazing dog?
Okay, so yesterday, my friend picked me up from the airport, and there was this little tiny dog. Like, when I say tiny, I mean, like, tiny. I think it was a baby Shih Tzu.
Yeah.
And it was, like, so fluffy. Like, I can't even describe how its head looked like a human head, but I'm sure that its head was not human head size because its body was so tiny. But then it was like jumping up onto its owner and like rolling over, but in the middle of like a crosswalk. And like you couldn't even be mad because the dog was so fluffy. Not that I would be mad anyways, but like you couldn't, like just like seeing it made you happy.
Aww.
So seeing it made me happy. That's the only dog I've seen so far this year.
That's pretty good.
But it was like a really good dog one. Like a really one of the best interactions of my life.
May 2019 be a great dog year for everybody.
Therapy dogs.
Touch every dog.
So would you prefer to play Ira Hayes by Peter LaFarge or Susan Aglukkaq? OCM.
Oh.
I think I want to play OCM.
Yeah, play OCM.
Because it's really cute, and I think that I hope 2019 is a great kinship year for everybody.
Yes.
And OCM... Oh, the lyrics for Susan, I don't exactly know what OCM means, but I know that some of the lyrics are OCM, we are all family.
Yes.
So hope we're all family this year.
We will be.
Yeah. Have a lovely day, Unseated Airwaves listeners.
Yes.
OCM. Are all family. OZM, we're all the same. OZM, the fires are free.
to share.